All right, church, let's have a seat and get in God's word together. Live streamers, love you, and thankful that you can join us in this way. And we're going to be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew today. So you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, verse 10, and then I'm going to have you jump to chapter 11, verse 28 after that. Today is the first Sunday of a new year theme here at Harvest. And so if you're new to Harvest and you're like, what is the deal with the entire worship team and the pastor wearing the same shirt and, like, you know, donuts out back and all of that stuff? What's the deal? Why is it called fall kickoff when there's no pumpkin spice drink for me to have and all of that? This is a confusing place. What's happening is fall kickoff. It just means a new ministry year for us as a church. And every year we pick a new ministry emphasis. And that comes from 1 Peter 5, where we get this instruction as elders in the church to shepherd the flock that is among you, which means the leaders of the church get to shepherd one group of Jesus's whole worldwide church, and that's us, a local expression, and do that interpersonally, us knowing you well and us knowing and praying toward where the Lord would have us go from a preaching standpoint, a leadership standpoint, all of that for the next year. So today we get to talk about our next year theme, and you can see them on the wall. You can see it on the wall. You can see it on the t-shirts. Just think of as if you don't know about it yet, and hang with me for a second. I'll announce it in just a second. All right, what I want to do first is review with you, all right, pressure's on, the previous 12 themes in order, okay? First service, we struggled, and so did this guy, which is kind of embarrassing, all right? All right, so here we go. Who's got the very first year theme? Who's got it? Anyone know? This is great. No one knows. No one knows. What's that?
Was it the table one?
It wasn't the table one. That's later, but good guess. All right, it was solidify your faith. All right, 1 Peter. Second year, anyone know? I feel like I'm just going to have to tell you. All right. Lance is like, just keep going, man. All right. Resolved all in and pressing forward. That was year two. Year three, anyone know?
At the table?
Nope. Lift your eyes. Man, this is great. I totally should have put the slide up. I put it up last year. Lift your eyes. Year four, anyone have that one?
Table?
Not at the table. You guys are all about, that was a good year for the theme, at the table. That one was with great joy. We looked at the book of James. All right, after that? Nope. My goodness. After that, we looked at the Gospel of John, and the year theme was?
The Gospel of John.
The year theme was, okay, I'm just going to stop asking questions, all right? The year theme was, believe Jesus. The next one after that, second half of Gospel of John, was?
At the table!
All right. Then we went into the book of, then we did Full of Faith, right? Which was Hebrews 11. And then we went into the book of Acts, which was go in power. And then how sweet the sound, all right? And then it gets a lot easier because these are the last 3 years, okay? Who's got the last 3 years? Hallelujah. And then let there be light. It's getting louder. And then what was last year?
Hold fast.
Literally the two words on the wall right there for a year. All right, there we go. All right, that's them. Good job. Sort of. Okay. All right. The year theme for year 13 is kingdom come. Okay? Kingdom come. And these two words come out of Matthew 6:10, which is in the Lord's Prayer. And you get this idea of kingdom throughout the scriptures. And then Matthew 11:28, which we'll look at as well. So what I want to do this morning for the next few moments with you is answer the question, why kingdom come? And then what does kingdom come mean? What does kingdom mean? And then what will be the result in God's grace as he does this within us as a church over this next year? Okay, so let's look at these two verses together. The first one is Matthew 6:10, and then the second one is 11:28. And here's the first point today. Now, there's a lot of words here. I'd love for you to write them down or type them in or whatever you need to do, because this is a definition of what kingdom come means, and then I'm going to give you a definition of what kingdom means, all right? So here's the first point. Kingdom Come is the prayer of Jesus for God's reign of truth and grace and life to spread within humanity. Okay, so when you see that in the Lord's Prayer, we know it's a prayer. And so when he says, your kingdom come, we're seeing that kingdom come is the prayer of Jesus. I'm going to say this again, the prayer of Jesus for God's reign, meaning God is king, God's reign, of truth and grace and life. That's how he reigns. That's kind of the ethic or the ethos of his kingdom to spread within humanity. He's praying that it would come. He's praying that it would spread, and God's kingdom specifically. So Matthew 6:10 comes from within the Lord's Prayer. So there it is on the wall. This is our verse theme paragraph on the wall this year. So I'm going to read this. This is the Lord's Prayer. You probably maybe know it from memory or you're familiar with it. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So as you may know, the disciples are watching Jesus praying all the time. They're like, we want to pray like you do. Teach us to meet with God like you do. And he says, then pray like this. And he gives them this prayer, which I've preached before, I think is an outline for how we are to pray. And within that is this idea, kingdom come. So notice that the prayer starts with worship, right? Prayer starts with worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, which means like lifted high, made distinct, hallowed be your name, and then your kingdom come. Starts with worship, and then it goes into aim. Your kingdom come, your will be done. All right, now, for us to understand what kingdom come means, we need to get a handle on what the kingdom of God is, right? So what is the kingdom of God, all right? So I'm going to give you a definition. I want you to write this down as well, okay? We'll put it on the screen. Here it is. The already not yet state of truth and grace and life with God because of Jesus, okay? That is the kingdom of God, and that's how we're going to define it, all right? Now, the reason I want to define this is because this idea of kingdom is a cover-to-cover theme in the Bible. And it's one of those things that's developing as you go. And so depending on where you are in the scriptures, you might define it differently. And so I tried to define it in a way that would generally be satisfactory throughout the scriptures, but also achieve what it's ultimately going to be within the reality that we are right now. All right? So y'all are like, wow, this is a lot of words. Pastor Mike, let me see if I can track with you, okay? So here's what I want to do. I want to just take you through this definition, okay? I'm not going to draw today for you. I'm just going to just underline some stuff, okay? So what is the kingdom of God? And here's that definition, the already not yet state of truth and grace and life with God because of Jesus. Okay, so I want to walk you through this. Now, first, this is not a Bible verse, okay? This is what I came up with after studying kingdom and looking at it, which is a huge theme in Matthew for a while, and reading and thinking and all of that, okay? This is not a Bible verse. Check. Everyone good with that? All right? This is not inerrant. This is not eternal. This is me trying to help myself and you to understand what kingdom of God is. So let me just walk us through this. All right? First word is the. All right? Thanks. All right, so it's not, notice, it's not a. You get that? It's not a thing. It's the thing. Like, we're Christians. We have the kingdom. There's one of them, and we're in it, which is awesome. All right? And then next, it says, already not yet. All right? I think that's one word because it's got two hyphens. Already not yet, or it's a small phrase, something like that. Trying to be complicated with grammar for you because you are loved, okay? So, the already not yet. Now, what does that phrase mean, okay? Already means the kingdom in many senses is already coming, right? How do we know? Well, it's because we, many of us here in this room, are already saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, all right? Jesus said at the beginning of all the Gospels, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? So for us who have repented and believed in Jesus Christ, guess what? We're in the kingdom. So there's that already sense, right? Like, oh, I don't want to use red because that'll look like I'm correcting it. Already, right? Sense of the kingdom being here. We know Jesus. We know who he is. He's already come. He started the church. But we recognize it's also not yet, right? Everyone just nod your heads with me, right? Just hang with me, right? It's already not yet. Why do we know the kingdom isn't all the way here yet? Well, because there's disease and there's death and there's suffering and there's hardships and there's sin and all of these things. Like, this isn't heaven yet. And for us to think that the earth and this world and our cultures are ever going to be some utopia is an absolute pipe dream. Heaven is ahead. The full kingdom realized is ahead. That's the not yet, but there's already some things that are happening. All right, do you see that? So the already not yet state. Okay, state. Now, what I don't mean by this, and gosh, I tried to do this. I messed this up the first service too. This is intentionally supposed to be a lowercase s, okay? State doesn't mean a geopolitical nation or a city or something like that. State means like a state of being, all right? The place that you're in. Will the kingdom of God one day be a place? Yes. The New Jerusalem is going to descend from heaven and land on this earth, and that's where the kingdom of God is going to be. We get that from Revelation. That's awesome, but that hasn't happened yet, all right? So one thing I want us to understand is the kingdom of God is not the nation of Israel. Like, as it stands right now with borders, it's not the United States of America, all right? The kingdom of God is the people of God that are throughout the entire world who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of God. The people that Jesus is king over, all right? You tracking with me on that? And so the point is, like, advance that kingdom, kingdom come throughout the world. Okay, so the already not yet state of what? Of what? Like, when you come into the kingdom of God, what is it, like, what's the ethos of the kingdom? What's it feel like? What is it, why is it so awesome? And those three things are grace, or truth, grace, and life. So I just want to walk you through, like, how awesome this is. So, truth. Here's our world does... our truths in this world are essentially trends, okay? All right, and then what happens is we like to call them truths. But what happens? They're true for like a month or a day or a couple of years, and then we learn something else, and we're like, that's not really true, but I was building my life on that thing, and then it collapsed or it changed, and so it's teaching us there's a truth that's bigger than the truth this world offers, right? And so God's kingdom, I'm going to do another one of these things, like, that's not truth. God's kingdom has truth, and it's written right here, and it endures forever, and it never withers, and it never fails, and this is what we've got, and we as believers, as sons and daughters of the King, have this, and we can read this, and this is how God leads, and how what he leads from, and this is truth, and no matter what the culture is saying right now about whatever is in here, we can say, this is it, right? So that's amazing. We have truth. We don't have to guess. We don't have to be taking copious notes all the time about whatever the culture is saying is truth, because we have it written down for us right here, okay? Now, that doesn't mean we're like jerks to the culture. It just means we're trying to give the truth to the culture, the real truth, okay? All right, next, grace. Grace. How many of you have heard the term cancel culture in like the last 5 minutes, okay? That's a huge thing in our culture, right? So if you have made a mistake in the last 10 years, and you're a leader of a company, and they find out that you said something bad or tweeted something bad 10 years ago, you can get fired for something you did 10 years ago, even if you've totally changed on that bad thing you used to think, right? That's called cancel culture. That's not grace. What God does in his kingdom is he's like, yeah, you're a sinner, and yeah, you screwed up, but I'm forgiving you through Jesus. You're not perfect. I know that, but let me grow you in my truth by bringing you in through my grace. And that's what he does. And so a lot of us struggle with approval and insecurities, and God, I'm not good enough. And y'all, to be honest, we're not. And so he gives Jesus, who is good enough, and he applies that to us. And then we're like, by his lavish grace, he cares for us. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we have in the kingdom of God. We have truth, and we have grace. And then thirdly, we have life. We have life. Jesus says, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. All right, so we have life. We know as believers that we are here with God's breath in our lungs, and he's numbered our days, and he's mapped all of that out, and we have life, and life here is to be lived for him and his glory. We also know that God's kingdom is eternal life. Okay, so most of you know my dad, who loved the Lord, passed away almost a month ago. And he loved the Lord. He had life. He had life while he was here. But now he has eternal life, like he's seeing Jesus. And that is amazing. And that is helping me so much as we continue to grieve. But he was in the kingdom here on earth, and now he's in the kingdom in heaven. And then one day that heaven is going to come down here, and it's going to be more fully realized, and his body's going to unite with his soul, and it's going to be awesome. And that's going to happen to all of us. Life from God, the originator of life. So what's awesome about the kingdom? All right? Well, streets of gold. Yeah, that's cool. All right, but like now, truth and grace and life. Do we have all of those now already? We do, right? Right? Will we have all of those in a more perfect, wonderful way in the future? Yes, we will. Already, not yet, and these are the things. There's like a version of this everywhere you go, every conversation you have, but there's the version of all these that we want to be all about. That's what Jesus is praying. Your kingdom come. This, truth, grace, life in the lives of human beings. All right, but how? How is that possible? And the answer is because we can be with God. All right, now, when you think of kingdom throughout the scriptures, there's this common theme of dwelling, all right? God dwelling with his people. So Old Testament, you've got God like in the garden, Adam and Eve. That's awesome, all right? And then sin separated God and humans, and God's having to bridge that gap for us, and he does that graciously, wonderfully. He's with us in the tabernacle. It's the place where God would dwell. He's with us in the temple. It's a place God would dwell. And then he's with us at the beginning chapters of each of the Gospels. And what is Jesus's nickname? What's the name that they gave Jesus? Emmanuel. All right, Christmas time. What does that mean? It means God with us, right? So God with us dwelling. But think about this. God's with us, but we're also with God. And he brings us to him. So the already not yet state of truth and grace and life with God, how is that possible? Because of Jesus. It's because Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, so that by believing in his sacrifice for us, we can come into his kingdom and be saved. Not because we're awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. Not because we sacrificed enough in this world to be able to earn it. That's impossible. He did that for us. Because of Jesus, we're with God, and we have life and grace and truth, and we have this state of being now that's already not yet because of the kingdom. All right? Y'all tracking with me? So there's the definition, all right? The already not yet state of truth and grace and life with God because of Jesus. So try to memorize it. You're going to talk about it in your small groups this week. So think about that. Be thinking on it. Jesus wants this for you, and that's what he's praying, kingdom come. Now, the next question is, how do you like get into that? And how broadly is this offered to humanity? So here's the next point. From Matthew 11, 28. So turn to Matthew 11, 28 with me and look at this awesome verse. It may be familiar to you. And here's the point. The invitation to come to the kingdom is sent to everyone. All right? The invitation to come to the kingdom is sent to everyone. Now, this is amazing. Like, just to think about this and then to consider, like, who can be a part of that? That's awesome. That's what every human being would want. So who can come? Like, man, I hope that's not an exclusive club. And then you read Matthew 11, 28, which says this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Matthew 6, 10, kingdom come is within a prayer of Jesus. And then here, this is within a prayer of Jesus as well. Come to me. He's praying that people would come to himself. Now, here's the context. All right? Jesus has just been teaching these parables, and all of these people are hearing them, and most of them don't understand. And they're like, why can't I understand this? And Jesus' answer to them is, you can only understand my parables if God the Father grants you to understand my parables. And people are like, so what am I supposed to do? Right? And then he goes in and he's teaching about these woes, like woe to you if, and then he fills in the blank, woe to you if. And everyone by that time is thinking like, there is no way that I can get into this kingdom. All right, because I want to understand what Jesus is thinking, but I can't unless the Lord helps me to do that. And woe to me because of all of my sin. So how in the world can I get in? And then Jesus begins this statement with the most astounding word after all of that. And he says, come. He says, come. He starts this phrase that all of us may be pretty familiar with. Come. And so here's what I want to do. I want to just walk us through this verse briefly. Okay, so the first word is come, all right? It doesn't mean like put it on your calendar and set this up for whenever you can get around to it, right? How many of you would agree that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is like come, he's not, you know, maybe in like 2030 when you get through this decade. He's like now, right? Do it now, right? Come, all right? This is an invitation to come now. And then he says, come to me. He's not like, come to things that are generally like me. And that is an enormous temptation that the evil one throws at so many people who have any type of Christian background. Like, people will come to church and feel like they've come to Jesus. They will come and do good deeds and they feel like they've come to Jesus. And as many of you know, if you've been around for a little bit, we've had a lot of people come to Christ in our church who have grown up in church and been around church and had come to church, but then they'd never come to Jesus. And then they come to Jesus and they're like, oh, I'm forgiven because of what he's done, not because of what I'm doing. I'm forgiven because he's the one that started the church, not because I'm in the church, right? I'm forgiven because of all of these things Jesus done. He says, come to me. Amazing invitation, very directive with an arrow pointing directly at himself. Come to me. He's not like come to the pastor. He's not like come to the church. He's not like come to good deeds. Come to me, right? And then he says all. This is an amazing phrase. I want y'all to think about one of the stories that Jesus tells. Not a story. One of the things that he's teaching is he says that the gate is narrow. And he's talking about the gate to the kingdom of God, right? It's narrow. Well, man, like, the road to destruction is what? Wide. The gate is narrow. So you're thinking like, man, how then do I get through? But think about it. That tracks with this. Come to me. It's narrow. It's Jesus, right? It's only Jesus. It's not all these other things. But then if it's narrow, how broadly is the invitation sent? And the answer is very broadly. Like, it couldn't be more broadly because he uses the term all. Like, this is everyone. The invitation is to everyone. Come to me all. Okay, so maybe you're here and you're like, no, I'm not worthy of that. I got too much darkness. I got too much going on. I don't have time. I don't have, whatever the excuse is, Jesus is like, no, you're included. But you got to come to him. All right? Come to me all. And then he says, who labor and are heavy laden. And this is really cool. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, puts every single human being in the exact same category. Do y'all agree with me that one of the things our culture's trying to do right now is to break us all up into different categories so that we yell at every other category, right? Jesus puts us all in one category, and he says, everyone on earth is laboring and heavy laden. Everyone. Since the fall, Genesis 3, what happened? Adam was like, gardening's easy. Go out there, plant some stuff. Boom, tomatoes next day, right? And then sin happens, and it's like, weeds, weeds, this is hard, I'm sweating, weeds, right? Just read Genesis 3. Adam's like, weeds, just kidding, he did it, right? He's laboring, and it's different, and there's thorns and thistles, and then heavy laden. We're all heavy laden. We look at what's happening in the world. We're like, Lord, what is going on? And the cares of the world and the cares of our own lives and the relationships we have and the things that we want and then understanding our own sin and our own darknesses. And Y'all, I'll confess, like, I am feeling this labor and heavy laden more than I probably ever have in my life right now. And I don't say that as like a pity the pastor thing, not at all. I'm just saying that like I get this. I feel this. I don't want y'all thinking like Mike's got it together because he's the pastor and he preaches this to us. Like, this is God's word preached to all of us, and I'm a member of the church and like humanity. We're all doing this. So the question is, will I then come to Jesus? Will I? Will you? All right? And then what is the result when that happens? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Y'all, I watched a Facebook video this week. This is like really the best reason to be on social media is to watch funny videos, in my opinion. All right, so anyway, I saw this video. Grown man, dad, husband, at the table with his family, fell asleep, dinner table, fell asleep, fell out of his chair and hit the floor, all right? Yeah, I don't know why y'all aren't laughing harder. That is funny, all right? When I saw that, I'm like, I relate, and kudos to his wife for videoing her husband fall asleep at the table and fall in the chair and not wake him up before he hit the deck, right? Legit. I don't even care if he's okay. I just think it's amazing that I'm entertained by him falling asleep and falling out of his chair. Like, I get being physically tired. Do y'all relate with me on that? I mean, it's like every 3 months, there's a new responsibility. It's like, boom, and I'm like, offload one, right? And it doesn't really happen like that. And then the more responsibilities there are, the more I feel like, man, I want to lead well, I want to serve well, right? I know all of us feel that. All of us get that. And then Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm like, that is quite the promise, Lord Jesus. So all I got to do is come to you? Because I know I'm this. All I got is come to you, and you'll give me rest. And he doesn't mean, like, sleepy time, right? I mean, for sure, when you're resting in the Lord, anxieties cease, you trust him, you'll sleep better. But he means rest for your soul. He means deep. He means the deepest, longest possible type of confident, assured rest you could have. And it's rest for your soul. And the only way you can get that is through Jesus, placing your faith in him who saves your soul, gets you to heaven. You know that heaven is ahead and that this isn't heaven. And so many categories change in life, and understanding it at least gets easier because you're following the Lord's truth. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants that for all of us. He wants this wonderful state of grace and truth in life with God because of him. So this year, the Gospel of Matthew is going to help us. It's going to help us a lot because we in the Gospel of Matthew get to hang out with Jesus and see him call people to himself. He's going to say, follow me. And we're going to see him hang out with someone that is just like you, that thinks just like you, that's lived just like you, that's behaved just like you in the past. You're going to see that. You're going to relate. And then we, as a church, get to be disciples of Jesus together. All right? Jesus had 12 disciples that he hung out with all the time. And then he had 70 that were broader than that, men and women and people around. And then he had 120. And there's all these different groups. And then he's got thousands that he's feeding and teaching Sermon on the Mount. And so we get to experience all of that discipleship. And what's he teaching us? He's teaching us about himself so that we can know him and enter the kingdom of God, so that we can be in the kingdom of God and understand truth and grace and life in him. All right, so we get to do that together in Matthew this year. So did I tell you guys how long we're doing the Gospel of Matthew? Did I tell you all that already? I told the first service, and I just can't remember. So the goal is we're going to do Matthew over a year and a half and try to finish it Good Friday and Easter 2023, okay? Now you're like, 2023, what? But think about it. It's September. We go through 2022, and then 2023, we're at the end of Matthew. So the goal is kind of slow and steady, and multiple times throughout the series, I'm going to stop. This is my wife's amazing wisdom. She's like, what if you stopped periodically and just did a recap? That way we know where we've been. I'm like, that's a great idea. So we're going to do some of that within the sermons as well, and we'll just be able to hang out with Jesus for that time. Okay? All right, so that's Gospel of Matthew. Now, what I want to do is share some vision with you for this next year, okay? As a church family, y'all know this, like, we're not about building programs, we're about building people. We're not trying to, like, busy everyone. We're trying to make what we're doing as high quality as possible so that we can produce high quality disciples of Jesus Christ, okay? So usually we're not adding a ton of new things. This year we are actually adding a few things, but they're not to compete with the core things that we already have going on. So let me show you what those are. So here are the things that are coming this next ministry year. The first thing is discipleship classes. All right, now we've had these here and there over the years, and what we're about to do is make these things consistent within our church. We don't have Sunday schools per se, we do small groups, but we recognize small groups accomplish growing in Christian community. Classes really help us learn a lot in a short amount of time. So discipleship classes are coming. The first one is going to be this fall. It'll be led by Ronnie and CJ. It'll be called Being a Disciple. 6 weeks, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock to 8:30 here in the building. In the spring, CJ Davis is going to teach a 6-week Old Testament survey class. All right. To CJ, I am thinking, good luck, my friend. 6 weeks, Old Testament. It's going to be great. OT survey, 6 weeks with CJ, which will be great. Like, man, I want to understand the Old Testament, right? Come to that class. It's going to be great. CJ's a great teacher. Ronnie's a great teacher. Next, fall is going to be making disciples. Making disciples. So this fall, being a disciple. Next fall, making disciples. And also next fall, New Testament survey. So the idea here, y'all, is to do this every couple of years and repeat. So if you can't get to one this year, we'll probably do the class again a year and a half, 2 years from now. So don't freak out. We want to give you these opportunities. So those are coming. The second thing is a 2022 Bible reading plan. Okay? Now this isn't like you got to do it. A lot of you have your system and that's awesome. And I would say stick with that. But if you want to do a Bible reading plan with the church for all of 2022, Ronnie and CJ are developing that and working on that for you, and we'll get that explained to you starting around November, December, so that's coming. A third thing is small groups expansion. So what we want to do within our small group ministry is add a few more small groups. We have 11. We want to get that to 13 this year. And then also, for years, we only had 6 small groups, and now we're about to have 13. And so one of the things that we've been thinking about a lot as elders over the last 4, 5, 6 months is we need to kind of change how the leadership runs for small groups. And so what's going to happen is Ronnie is going to start leading our small group ministry. Brian and Debbie and some other people, either some couples or individuals, are going to join them and be small group coaches so that we have more structure to help and serve our small group leaders and our small groups, all right? And there's even more pastoral support over all of that, because that's really the discipleship horsepower of our church, those small groups. So that's going to be great. You can be praying for those small group coaches and 2 more small groups. The goal of all of that is we want to help you know and live the truth and grace and life in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the goal of each of those 3 things. Now, the next one is we want to help all of us extend the truth and grace and life of Jesus to other people. So the next one is outreach expansion. So the first thing we want to do within that is establish local church outreach and further relationships with great organizations that we're already working with who are doing awesome deeds and good deeds work in our community. And we've been able to join them, various drives we've done, various ways we've been able to serve. So we're doing those things, and those things are generally established. We want to further deepen those relationships and our involvement in those ministries over this next year. The second thing, and this is a big thing, this is more of a prayer thing for now, is we want to seek the Lord toward beginning one sustained local ministry that we do here through Harvest that we can really own as a church. Not for our glory, like, oh, Harvest is known for this. It's not that. It's like, Lord Jesus, what is the passion that you've given us as a church that we can really get behind and all of us can use our gifts and serve to bless the community, to be a cup of cold water where it's needed, to get the gospel out there to people? What is that? How can we use this amazing building you've given us, this position in our city? How can we do those? Show us what that is and lead us to that. All right. Now, I don't want all of y'all, like, we're thinking that there may be someone in the church that's got that passion, and that passion can, like, spread to other people, and it grows grassroots, all right? But don't come up to me and be like, hey, I think we should do this, all right? We're gonna pray about it. Like, yeah, for sure, come and tell me. But don't, like, we want this to be a really, like, totally Spirit-led thing, all right? And we're gonna pray about it a lot, and we're gonna see what really takes root and what we can do in a sustained way. And then the third thing, I love this, is international missions. And just think this prayer with me. Pray this with me. Jesus, allow us to send some teams over an ocean again in 2022. So our goal is next year, send some teams overseas. As y'all know, the beginning of 2020, we had this big vision. There were a bunch of people in this room, like literally these sections right here were full of people. And we're talking about going to these various places, and then COVID happened and everything shut down. So Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. That's a big prayer, outreach expansion. And then here's the last one. It's knowing one another. Last one's knowing one another. Here's what I mean. As our church grows in number, we no longer know everyone's names, all right? Raise your hand if you know everyone's name in this room right now. Don't raise your hand, all right? So there's kind of two ways that you can look at that. One way is be like, oh man, I remember the good old days when Harvest was like 40 people and I knew everyone, I had everyone's contact, and we were like always hanging out and all of that, right? I remember the good old days and I want that back and I don't like the growth and whatever. None of you are actually saying that, right? That was total exaggeration, but that's one way to think about it. And you'd be like, I don't want to get to know new people. I want to get to know my old people, right? Let me just stop talking and acting like that's us, all right? That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is to just humbly be like, wow, Lord Jesus, you are growing our church, like numerically. And that is so humbling that you would take from your worldwide flock people that are coming to our church and that you would add new believers who are coming to Christ through the ministry. You would do that. You're growing our church. And Lord, I want to meet these sheep that you love. And I want to get to know them. And so as often as I can, Lord, help me. And you know, if you're an introvert, be like, Lord, give me the strength to have a 7-minute conversation. Or if you're an extrovert, you know, just do your thing, right? Get to know the church, knowing one another. And you know what knowing one another helps us do? It helps us, like, not be against each other or assume the worst. And we saw that a lot last year, right? Like, we weren't together. We're seeing, like, Facebook posts. We're seeing stuff. And we're like, and when we lack that community together, some bad things can start to occur within our thinking about others. And so we want to know others well. And that's a huge priority for all of us going forward. So we're going to do things like gathering events like we're doing today between the services, before the service, and then things like men's softball, the men's retreat that's coming, and then women's mixers and the IF gathering, and then the Harvest Kids volunteer breakfast. Those are all examples of opportunities for you to come together and get to know others in the church, all right? Now, how is all of that connected to Kingdom Come? How's all that connected to Kingdom Come? They're connected to Kingdom Come because each of them deepen us more and more in the grace and the truth and the life of Jesus Christ. And they deepen us more, which makes us more capable of taking the truth and grace of life and life of Jesus Christ out to our world, all right? So, as we close, let me just show you this cool crown thing. Okay, so you're like, why is there a crown on our wall that has living moss in it? What's up with that? All right, I recognize some of y'all can't see it because of the easel. Sorry about that. So one reason that we did this crown and we put living moss in it is because we want Charles to have to water it every Wednesday night at rehearsal because we love him and we just love giving him silly things like that. So the crown is Jesus's crown, right? It represents that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's his kingdom come, right? The other thought is the crown isn't for me. It's not for you. It's not for us as a church. It's Jesus's. And we serve him, right? And that this is something, the kingdom is growing and it's alive and it's eternal and it's expanding and there's lines that are going out everywhere. And for some reason, just a little bit of artsiness in me, I see that little circle right there, and that just represents a person that is coming into the kingdom. Or maybe it represents you in the midst of Jesus, you and Jesus as your king, and it's personal. And so I want all of us to think that, to feel that. It's on our shirts, Kingdom Come. We've got verses on the shirts that help invite people into that. And so that's where we're going this year. That's our heart. We want to know King Jesus, and we're going to walk with him through Matthew, and we want other people to know him as well and come to meet him also. All right, so here's what we're going to do to close, and we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to do it out loud together. And I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer. So you can look at it on the screen. You can look at it over there. Let's pray this prayer together and close the sermon. Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.